Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human. The Comedy Science Podcast, Souping Up the Homo Sapien. Hello and welcome to Level Up Human, the show that looks at the human race and tries to figure out how we can make it better. We're taking suggestions from our panel, from our audience here at the Science Gallery in Dublin, and the natural world to try and work out exactly what the next stage in human evolution should be. We're putting together a to-do list for human evolution. We're looking for design spec for the next stage of humanity, a sort of humanity plus one, which is like a normal human except always 1 hour late. I'm your host, Simon Watson. Today I'm joined by three entities that are 98% like a chimp and 2% miscellaneous in the form of our guests. On my immediate left, we have our judge who's going to decide what we should incorporate into future editions of our species. It's Neil de la Mer. Neil is constantly touring, but you might also know him for his incredible comedy documentaries, including the IFTA award-winning programmes on St. Patrick and the Vikings. Have you got a favourite St. Patrick fact?
St. Patrick? Yeah, he wasn't the first bishop to come here. That was Palladius, and no one remembers Palladius, and everybody remembers St. Patrick, yeah.
Was he rubbish?
Well, he died quite quickly, and so yes, in that...
Was he bitten by a snake?
He was bitten by a snake that Patrick sent to Ireland and to get rid of his competitions. That's one of my favourite facts, yeah.
Well, cool. You're going to be judging these ideas. What kind of things are you hoping our panellists will pitch to you?
Well, I have to say it's good to see you again, because when we did that podcast a few weeks back, I thought we had some brilliant ideas, like there was immortality from a jellyfish. There was one girl who suggested that all emotions should be banned. Now, she sits in it's a mental hospital, there's no other way of saying it. But sometimes, if you're quiet enough, you can hear her terrifying laughter. Actually, she's actually here again. One question, you can all see her as well, right? So that sort of suggestions, our audience were brilliant and so were our panellists.
Well, these are terrific panellists. So on my immediate right, we're joined by Lara Dungan. Lara is an immunologist. You're currently training to become a proper doctor. That sounded all wrong, didn't it? I mean, in terms of medical doctor, would that be the word for it?
Yeah. Doctor-doctor-like.
A doctor-doctor.
A bad joke.
Have you got a favourite organ?
That is the worst shout-up line I've ever heard.
It works. I do. You'd be surprised.
I am married, actually, before we
I do. I do. I have favourite organs, but they're not on humans. So I think my two favourite would be skin, but it's on a glass frog. So they have this skin that you can see completely through. You know all these crazy animals, so you definitely know these ones.
Yeah,
so you can see all their organs through, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And then also the heart of a blue whale. Because they're so big, they're the size of a car. So, yeah, I think we're actually kind of crap organ-wise compared to everything else.
Good choice.
I have a favourite organ. It's the stomach. Because there's something wrong with your stomach, it tells you. You go, are you okay? And it goes, like that. You go, do you want some food? And it goes, whereas, like, it's quite progressive, and it'll tell you. Whereas your pancreas is really passive-aggressive. And you go, are you okay? And it goes, and then you die.
You've just hit upon, I think that's an excellent pitch. Like, why not make all humans see-through to make your job easier?
Exactly. Because I'm going to be a terrible doctor. So like, I need to be able to see it. Like.
Have you ever seen an Irish girl on an Australian beach?
No.
That is as close to translucent as you'll ever get.
Oh, dear. We're also joined by David McEwen. David is an engineer, a rocket scientist, and you've done some really cool work. You've been working on the Delian Arm. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So Delian Arm is a project European Space Agency are doing for, it's a robot arm for Mars. So it's on for a future rover that's going to go to Mars. And it's working with the control system to try to move it about without kind of any vibrations. It's kind of cool. It's kind of odd doing it because it's on Mars.
And is that so the Martians can get the little furry toy?
Or is it... So we're going to fund it. No, so it's for picking up samples and drilling and that kind of thing.
Can't hug.
I preferred your first answer.
Can I hug?
Yeah, can I hug?
Well, just one arm. Can you hug with one arm? Yeah, I guess you could. There's no
you can't clap with
I'm just imagining, you're not just a really lonely scientist. This is not part of it. This isn't like part of the motivation. It's got a practical purpose.
Well, yeah, so it's been built in Italy, so I only have to go over and visit, and then they usually try to don't let you near them.
It's been built in Italy, is it?
Yeah, it's been built in Italy.
Well, it's bound to work.
Yeah.
They were, Julian, I'm just thinking, because there are people trying to develop hugging machines. That's a real thing. That's
this one would be quite expensive one, I imagine.
Fair enough. We're also joined by the wonderful audience here at the Science Gallery in Dublin. Give everybody a warm welcome. So before we leap into ambition and look into the future, we want to find out what's happening right now. Our panelists have each brought along a news story with them. Why don't we start with you this time, Neil? What news story have you brought?
Oh, well, I'm always reading the latest scientific journals, and I like to keep up with the developments in the rodent world, because I don't know if you know that mice and rats are used a lot in scientific research. Obviously, I learned recently, actually, that rats have an orgasm switch. I don't know if you know this. sorry, that's apropos of nothing. But anyway, mice, apparently, they knew for years and years that male mice sang to female mice when they were trying to mate. But recently, a University of Delaware study has figured out that female mice sing back to them as well. So this guy, neuroscientist, had to build a tiny little chamber with all these arrays of microphones in them and calculated it so they could listen to the squeakings of mice. Now, they don't know if the mice sing or shout, which I would have thought was a fairly important distinction in terms of, you know, mating. Hey, you know, singing to a lady and just shouting at her would be two entirely different things.
You're not a fan of death metal.
I'm not a fan of death metal, no. So they figured out that the male mice chase the female mice and sing to them, and if the female mice sing back to them, and also if they like the song of the male, they slow down so that the male catches them as well. So there's these mice singing towards you. It's like Grease. If you've ever seen Grease, the male mice are like, tell me more, like, does she have some cheese? And the female mice are like, tell me more, does he get on his knees? I don't know what they sing to, I don't know what they sing to each other, but they do sing to each other, and apparently this will tell humans a lot about brain mechanics as well, our doctors and neuroscientists a lot about brain mechanics as well. And this tiny little box is now €1,200 per month rent in Dublin at the moment as well. So it's a very interesting story, I thought.
That's beautiful. What about you, David? What's caught your eye?
So it's a space story. They're sending stuff up to International Space Station this week. So they're sending up a DNA sequencer. So a really small handheld device where they can sequence DNA, okay, see what things are made of, basically. So most of the time they're kind of, I don't know, microwave-sized stuff in labs, but the small one going up there, they're able to see what microbes are up there, infectious diseases, if they're floating around in the space station. They've also sent up some radioactive mushrooms, which were like gathered around Chernobyl, and they grow on radiation. So if you give them radiation, they'll get bigger, sort of scary.
It's one of the black funguses.
Is it black fungus? Yeah, it's kind of like the stuff you see in your shower, that kind of stuff. So I thought that's kind of cool, and the idea of the DNA sequence is to see if it works in space, and then, you know, if they go into outer space and they find stuff, they can try to see what this alien life is kind of made of. With the mushrooms, they can see if they're magical or not.
Because these are really, really cool, because I remember when I first came across these, it was at Chernobyl, I think, where they were discovered, but then they found out that there are actually quite a lot of nuclear reactors anyway, growing away happily. And the compound they use, so the way that plants use chlorophyll for photosynthesis to get energy from the sun, they've got it, that's what makes them green, it's melanin, so it's the same stuff that makes us freckles.
Yeah.
So maybe we could just get energy by going all radioactive or something, that might work.
Seems like a good idea, put it on the list.
You're essentially saying that ginger people are going to be our overlords.
Well,
or is that a scientific leap?
Have you seen Top Gear recently? That's kind of how that happened, maybe. What about you, Laura? What's caught your eye?
So, I also have a DNA story, because that's supposed to be my thing there.
I stole your idea. Sorry.
Biologist.
Go for it.
So, mine is about a DNA nanobot. So this guy in a university in Israel has created basically like a DNA clam. So you know what a clam shell is like? It kind of, this is useless for the podcast, but you can all see. It kind of opens up and the clam is inside. And one of the big problems for treating cancer is that drugs that treat cancer are very, very toxic. So that's why people lose their hair and they get sick and they're frankly quite horrible. But if you can find a way to get that drug sort of sneakily to where it's going to go, it's sort of the perfect system. So they've made these little DNA, basically, prisons. And they can put whatever they want inside them, drugs if they want to, and they target them at the cancer. And so I read this story really, really excited, and it was talking about going into human trials. There was this one man who had very serious leukemia, and he was sort of, the way they said it, he was scheduled to die in June. And I sent this to you last week, and I thought the whole thing was really exciting. And so just today, I read up to see if the results were out, and then I noticed the year. So this all happened last year, and I didn't read it properly, and there's absolutely no information since then. So I'm thinking, even though it's a great idea, I actually think my science story didn't work. So I think I've already been proven to be the worst scientist on the stage, because I picked one that broke.
No, but look, actually, I think you might be the best, because it's a problem we're having in science, is that nobody reports
I don't know what
happened. Work.
Yeah, it's gone.
So this is a constant problem, a battle that's going on all the time, is that nobody even replicates tests as often as they should. Mm.
Is there a chance that man is fine and he's grand and he's away living on a farm?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Oh no, like I can guarantee you that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Along with my childhood dog.
Yeah, absolutely. Little Mufti is definitely over there.
Do you think, is that what they do to doctors? They just get them a new one that looks the same? Is that your patient is still here? No. Oh man. It's got darker than I anticipated very, very quickly.
You know, when we started off with Chernobyl, I thought it was going to lighten up after that.
No. But,
oh, God. Let's go back to the mice.
Well, okay, let's get a bit more optimistic. Instead of having what's happening now, what will the future be like? Are people here going to give us some pitches? Nearly we're going to get to choose. We're going to take one forward each episode. How about we start with you this time, Lara? What do you think? What is your pitch?
Okay, so I am 163 centimeters tall, which I believe is 5'4", and I might be a little bit less, but we'll let that go. And I went to the greatest resource on the internet to find what the average height is for women in Ireland, Wikipedia, so we know it's right. And it is pretty much 163, 164 centimeters, so I am exactly average. Now, the top shelf in my kitchen is definitely at least 92 feet tall, because I cannot get to it. And it's quite pathetic. My housemates, maintains she's 5'2", she's definitely only 5 feet. And we have to have this really embarrassing little stepladder in our kitchen. It's actually pathetic. I'm embarrassed to use it when there's people around, because we can't reach what we want. And it bothers me every time. And if I go to a gig, I have heard so many great gigs, but I have no idea what the lead singer of The National looks like. I still don't. And it really bothers me. And it's a real short person thing. And I want basically memory foam people. I want people that can stretch out their cells. Because our muscle cells do stretch. Like when you contract or expand your muscle, it actually is stretching and it is contracting. So it's a real thing in muscle. And there's also a real disease that humans have called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And it's not funny, but it kind of is. I'm so sorry if you suffer from it. But they're the lads who put all the pegs on their faces. You know, you see them in like the Guinness Book of Records, they pull out their face and they stick on a peg. And it's not funny, because like it causes like your arteries and stuff to explode. So it's not great. But if we could kind of control that, right? So like if people were in car crashes, you know, your cells, yeah, you'd get, your body get all smushed in, but you'd be sort of memory foam and you'd come back to where you were and you could kind of stretch out. So if there's like a kitten in a tree, like you could rescue the kitten. And like I know like firemen's children everywhere would be starving because they'd have no work. But like I just think if you could stretch out your cells and stretch out your limbs and kind of morph your body but go back to where you were, I think that would make people class.
This is interesting. I know the guy who's the stretchiest man in the world. He's called Gary Turner.
Yes.
He's got Ellis Danlos.
He's the stretchiest man in the world.
He can grab his stomach and pull it out over 6 inches.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why he would, but, you know, he does.
He did it on Record Breakers. Do you remember that used to be a BBC show or World Record Breakers or Guinness Book of something, World something? I don't know. That's but he was on it, and he stretched stuff over, and he can pull things over his head and bits of his body.
Which is kind of useful, yeah. Like, you know, if you're ever watching Doctor Who and you hide behind the sofa, he can just go
straight up in the stomach. The old belly flop. Well, some of us can do it anyway, but that's for a different reason. But I just think it'd be...
Like, have you seen people who have been obese at some point and they lose loads of weight? Their skin is really stretchy as well.
Yeah.
There was a woman I saw once, and she'd lost a lot of weight, and she looked great, but she had loads of stretchy skin, and she was going to get an operation to get it done. Like, I would just get it sewed from my ankle to my wrist, and I could be like a flying fox.
What's... You mentioned a problem here, because you were saying about the arteries and things wearing out.
Yeah.
So why is that? Like, why is there a limit to this?
Okay, so there's this stupid molecule called collagen, which wrecks our buzz because it means you can't stretch things too far. So basically the whole, I mean, it sort of flies in the face of my theory, because if you stretch something too far, you're obviously going to thin it. Everybody, you can kind of imagine that. You've got your Play-Doh or whatever it is, the stretchy stuff, and it gets so thin you can see through it and it breaks. So that's kind of the inherent problem with this. If you stretch your cells out too far, like they can for, so the arteries.
Would your bones stretch as well? Like in your new scenario?
Would your bones, no, I'm sorry. Would your bones stretch?
Because like if you put your hand up like that and your finger muscle stretch, but if there's no structure.
Yeah, of course. So your bones will have to go as well. Yeah, that'd be.
So actually, surely the real problem here is that all muscles work by stretching against your bones. So how do you get your bones to stretch with nothing pulling them? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, sheer willpower would be the
answer. You're saying that we just don't want it enough, is that what you're saying? Is the suggestion to this maybe putting the stuff in your kitchen on a lower shelf?
There's a lot of stuff in my kitchen. There's no space for it. No, but I mean, like, there's...
Real-world like, applications for this
real
as well.
But, like, if you're in a car crash and stuff, if you could kind of, you know, mould around the steering wheel and then just pop back and be grand, like, I mean, I would be out of a job because no one would need doctors, but that'd be okay because, you know, I could reach everything I needed and I'd be really happy, so...
There may be other... Because I'm thinking collagen's... Because collagen is one of the dominant molecules in our body, full stop.
Yeah,
and it's what you make gelatin from.
Hmm.
So maybe we can all go a bit jelly-ish instead. More wobble.
So if our collagen wasn't working properly, we'd sort of sink into a puddle of a human and...
Yeah, it doesn't sound great either, actually.
No, it's not great.
What do you reckon?
Maybe that's why you're not suggesting them.
So. Yeah, but see, then, would that not take all the differentiation between people out? Do you know what I mean?
Between one person and the next.
Yeah, would we all just stretch a certain amount? Or like, for example, if you're going to stretch, would you just stretch because you're 5'4"? Would you stretch to 6'4"? Or if somebody was 6'4", would this stretch to 7'4"?
It'd be proportional, yeah.
Oh, proportional.
Your
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought it was madness before, but now we know that it is.
Once you
bring
proportionality
into it. I mean, there's some logic behind it.
Yeah. No.
But I'm saying, because if everybody stretched to whatever size they wanted to, then the Olympics, for example, is ridiculous, and there's no point watching it anymore.
Well, it's not going to be...
And that would be my main concern.
It's not going to be like that character in the Fantastic Four, whatever, Mr. Stretchy Pants. I don't know.
That's him, yeah.
Mr. Stretchy Pants.
Mr. Stretchy Pants.
Because he can kind of spread out his whole body and you know, engulf explosions. And just because he's stretchy, all of a sudden, like, fire doesn't hurt him. But anyway, we're not getting at the Fantastic Four. It's not ridiculous stretching. It's kind of like... I suppose I could stretch up to maybe the screen up there. Maybe two or three feet.
You know what science is like? Once you can stretch to 6 foot, you're going to want to go for more. Like, you're not going to be happy.
But then you have competitions for that.
No, because you're going to sit there and you're going to go, oh, the top shelf, I can reach the top shelf now. What's next? The attic.
Yeah.
Oh, do I really need a styra? Oh, I can fix the chimney. Like, what's he going to do? Are there going to be rockets? No, he's going to touch stars. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. There's not going to be that little arm that he's working on now. It's going to be his own arm. I mean, his head is going to be on Earth so he can breathe. I'm not an idiot, right? But he's going to go, when his stratosphere, and then he's going to poke around in space with his little DNA reader, just seeing what's up there, infectious diseases. So I think, you know, for that reason, I'm against it.
Oh. Everything you just said there made me for it. That sounded great.
Yeah, actually, I might be for it now.
You're easy persuaded here. But it's going on. In or out?
I'm in for the moment because I want to hear what David says.
So in for now. David, you're up. You meet this.
Mine's not too far away from it because it's actually... Mine's increased range of motion for our joints. I don't really care about our muscles and stuff, but actually for our joints. Because for too long, we've been inferior to owls in our neck. And I have this theory that owls laugh behind our backs, but we're too slow turning around to see it because of all the inertia that we can't. But we had owl necks, we'd catch them. And
He's right.
I am right. That is right.
I was only saying that the other day. For too long, we've been inferior to owls.
Right. I'm quite suspicious of anyone here. Can I maybe show of hands who's suspicious of owls?
Not show of hands. Podcast by shouting.
No, they all put their hands up. Everybody is suspicious of owls. I tell you why I'm suspicious of owls. Owls eat mice, right? And any scientist know that's an early clinical trial, and they're only one funding application away from moving on to humans.
Okay. No.
Right, so I think all our joints, not just our neck, all our joints should have an increased range of motion. I have non-owl reasons for this. I think I live kind of completely one-sided. I just use this kind of front bit mainly. But if I could be walking around and then I could just twist all my joints around, I could go that way as well. I could have used both sides.
You could, but you could just turn around.
Yeah, but...
Well, actually, you've kind of hit it.
Like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but on the Serengeti, when we were being chased by cheetahs, like, no one ever ran backwards away from them. Like, we did cop, I should probably turn in the direction of travel. Like, if you go on a travelator in an airport, it says face direction of travel.
Yeah.
So we have overcome that problem.
Okay.
Now, I mean, the owl neck, I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, okay.
Because taxi drivers could then turn around and go, do you know what, in the back of my cab, the way to do anyway.
What about being at a wedding and you're wearing a white shirt and you spill some soup on it?
Yeah.
And then you just turn your torso around so you have a white shirt at the front again, and then you're good.
You're like imagining like a kind of
bi-directional. No, hold on, sorry. You'd have to have a shirt with two fronts on it.
No, you just would have no buttons. You have the back of the shirt at the front. You take your jacket off.
No. A shirt is very much like a European-based war. You cannot have two fronts. That is the best joke you're ever going to hear on a science comedy podcast. It had everything. Come on, let's go through this now.
I think if we went to the effort of going two-sided, we'd make two-sided shirts.
Or you could be a priest if you turned around. You know, if you spilled it on that side, you'd be just a priest then for the second half of the wedding, maybe.
And you could do the wedding.
Well, that's not
earlier.
So much wine, though, you'd spill on yourself as the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, though, wouldn't it?
I am a Protestant.
That's a worry. Oh, dear. Oh. But look, the question here is, the question really... The question really is, because the reason why owls do this is because they've got rubbish eyes, so they're trying to make up for it.
Yeah.
And I think you're really onto something here, because pretty much every animal out there is a kind of example of what you're looking for. We find more other joints. Do anyone know of an eye-eye?
A what?
An eye-eye
is... It's a pirate of some sort, is it?
It's not like... It's kind of like a primate with a stutter, if you can imagine. Because it's basically this lemur from Madagascar. It's got a really long skeletal finger because it occupies the same niche as woodpeckers. But it's got a shoulder joint in its finger. So you know the phrase like sit and swivel? They can actually do that. They can really... Yeah, so they can get round. So maybe you just need more of the different type of joints. Why not have a shoulder joint in your neck?
Sure. Shoulder joint in your neck.
I think I want all joints to be kind of...
Is a neck not a pivot joint?
Yeah, it is.
And
yeah.
A shoulder joint is like a ball and socket joint, isn't it?
Yeah, so why not for something else?
And that's a hinge joint is your wrist.
Yeah.
So why would you have a shoulder joint, which is less flexibility than a pivot joint, in your neck? Biologist man.
If you thought...
Next, you'll be suggesting we have shark skin.
You could have both, though. Like, this is the thing for this arm thing, or a stretching.
So I think a pivot joint just allows rotation.
Yeah.
Why not the ball of a mouse? You know, the ball of a mouse. Well. Why not just have that in
your neck? Do you mean a real mouse? Or
no, like a computer mouse.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. Totally.
Left click, right click.
How owls do it is that they have... So they can turn basically 270 degrees in both directions. We can turn about 60, 80.
Which means that they're over 360 in total.
Yeah,
in
total.
All the way around.
If they went, the way around. So what would happen if human do it is that basically your all the plumbing, all the arteries and stuff going up get kind of...
Kinked.
Yeah, kinked, kind of caught, right? So the blood would stop going to your head. They have this kind of system of blood vessels that or arteries that are going up, and if one gets cut off, it can go an alternative route. That's pretty good.
So a diversion.
A diversion. So they have these kind of an overflow, kind of a backup channels for when they're doing it. So it's pretty clever. So we should do that. And they also have how the vessels go up. So to go up through a bone, there's a kind of a gap through the bone to protect it, and there's a area around it, so there's a bit of flexibility that it can move around, but in humans, it's kind of quite close to the bone, so we'd rip our vessels apart if we tried to do it.
Okay, here's another question for you.
Have you seen cyclists who have helmets with mirrors on them?
Yeah.
Would that not...
like a mod, sort of like have as many as
you
could?
You have, like you cycle around, you have a little mirror there and you can see behind you. It seems quite odd that owls can only do 270 rather than the full 360. Like, they just seem not to have committed to that.
Yeah, well, it has to stop. They can't go continuous, because then...
Because you won't screw your head.
You won't screw your head, yeah. But we could do that. We could try to... We could change. We have any joint we want. So something like a motor goes around and around, right, continuous, and it never... It has electricity going to it, so that's kind of the vessels going to it. And it never... The wires don't twist around, because they're using kind of a... What kind of slip this kind of brushes that sometimes make contact and sometimes don't. So it goes around. So it's kind of a semi-permanent contact between two. So our neck, all our blood could come up here, and then we have a semi-permanent contact with our head that goes around.
Like a sort of sprinkler system, which is just shooting blood anywhere you need.
Yeah, and then it's a drain, and then most of it gets recycled. Yeah.
How would you know if a child was possessed? She'd be the only child whose head wouldn't move.
Yeah.
Like, say a child was a terrifying child that, like, believed in a world with no emotion.
Yeah. You know what?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Laugh. You know about the laugh.
Okay.
But I think, so I'm not just thinking about neck, I'm thinking about all our joints. So
what would you have for wrists then?
Well, I think that our wrist would go, it could go sideways as well. It would have extra degrees of freedom as well.
Teenage boys would kill themselves.
Well, imagine if it was stretchy, that's even worse. Good.
We're not compact enough. We can't kind of fold ourselves up into small space. So we waste a lot of energy and time because of the way our structure is. So you take airplanes, they don't fit as many people as they could because they have to put seats in and they're getting smaller and smaller. But if we could just kind of fold ourselves up, you could store yourself in the overhead compartment.
Can I just stop you there? Because if Michael O'Leary hears this, we're all going to be going to Stansted tomorrow. Yeah.
You might have missed the trick here, because there's one thing we have to get in here, is that you were saying about owls having extra arteries, basically.
Yeah.
That could be really useful. Like, you won't get a heart attack if you've got another one that's a spare.
Mm. Yeah.
Redundant.
Avoid strokes.
Redundant plumbing. Be good.
Redundant plumbing.
Yep.
Cool. Is this in or out?
Oh, that's so in. Absolutely, it's in. Who doesn't want a head that can go all the way around, knees that bend the other way, new arteries, and blood rushing around your head like a girl you've just fancied has said yes? I think it's a genius idea, I have to say.
Well, okay.
I think it's brilliant. I don't necessarily, you know, he's looking at the animal kingdom and going that we should, not necessarily owls, but, like, because owls are thick as planks, you know that?
Are they?
No, yeah, they're not wise at all. I met a falconer once and he said, falcon's not too bad, owl.
How do you describe that face?
Yeah, owls are morons. Seriously.
Why?
Why? I don't know why. I have no idea why. I was more surprised by the fact that owls are morons. And kids love them now because they're in all the Harry Potter films. And so they're just gobshites. They're not intelligent at all. You look at them, they look intelligent. They're morons. There's no scientific basis to this.
Isn't wise as an owl?
One lad said because it, so I mean that's...
Well, no, he's a fellow who works with owls. Yeah. I mean, owls don't check. It's not one of those mating characteristics. An owl doesn't go up to another owl and go, hey, how many points did you get in your leaving cert? One owl goes up to another owl and goes, God, you can get your head around 271 degrees. Let's go make a baby.
Does that mean they can do doggy and eye contact?
Oh.
I just thought about that. Like,
sorry. Sorry. That would be absolutely terrifying.
That's what he has proposed.
That is what he has proposed. He didn't propose that use for that technology. You see, a perfectly valid scientific idea, and some Mengele madman takes it and wants to use it. There's nothing more terrifying than being in that situation and have the man or woman, whatever you're into, slowly turn around and look you in the eye. God. And with her movable thumbs, go, you're doing a great job there. That is absolutely terrifying. As you reach around with your wrist that flips each way.
Is it on the short list?
Well, it was already on the short list. Now that we can make porn out of it, it's 100% on the short list. Yeah. It is the short list. It is the entire Irish budget towards science short list. Is what it is. In fact, we should just wrap up this podcast now.
We might have to if we run over. Audience, we think you can do better for this. So, please, what are your suggestions? Put your hand up, we'll get a mic to you as fast as we can.
If somebody that we can't see from the back just goes...
You know, they don't do that.
What, owls?
Not the making love. Oh, the twits and the twos.
Do they not?
That's two owls. So one is the lady owl, one's the male owl. One does twit and one does twoo.
Really? They finish each other's sentences. Ah, that's how you know they should be together. Rather than looking her in the eye. And
please, sir, what's your name and what is your idea?
James. Internet in your head, basically, with a cybernetic eye, so you can, like, stream video when you get bored. Watch cat videos in those awkward situations where you're stuck in work in a meeting, you just don't want to be there.
Was Google Glass not meant to be kind of like...
More non-invasive, one that you just see instead of everybody knowing what you're doing.
All right, okay.
So you can be a twit rather than just...
You can Google, like, you know, do sharks get a tan or get burnt?
Yeah.
They only get a tan, they don't get burnt.
How would you manage the interface to look and stuff up?
They're starting to work on, you know, brain interaction with computers anyway, using your brainwaves, so you could use something along those lines where it's, you know, or verbal communication, 20 minutes into this meeting, turn on the video or Netflix, I don't want to be here.
But you've got one big problem here, which is that your eyes are rubbish, so you're going to be putting things, well, they're not rubbish, you've got two of them, they're great.
That's why I said cybernetic eye instead of your ordinary eye.
Well, yeah, because currently, if you're going to alter them in some way, the part you focus on is absolutely tiny, and the part you can see in color, if you get your hand and you stick it out in front of you, your thumbnail is about what you actually see in your color, and then your brain does the rest of it. So you can only watch black and white movies. How do you feel about this?
It's better than some of the meetings I go to.
What do you do?
Me? I work in IT, but I get some very boring meetings with a lot of guys in America. They go on and on. Hold on.
They're in America. Just look stuff up on your computer.
I can't. It's a conference, video conference without computers in front of us.
You do IT, make something better. Come on, this is the answer.
I tried. It just doesn't work.
The only cat videos would be black and white, like Jess. You're watching Postman Pat all the time. That's all.
Could be worse. You could watch all Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
They're all black and white. The birds.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know if I want to mess with the inside of my brain. So if you're sitting there in a meeting and it's voice controlled, I mean, people are going to realize that when they're going, what were the results of the third quarter? And you're going, click through to the next Tinder woman. Swipe right, swipe left. That's going to sound a little bit odd. I mean, it's not owls.
No, nothing's going to beat the owls.
No. Well, that was very, very pointless making any suggestion then.
I had to do something.
If you already realised you were beaten, why did you even get involved, right?
Just
no, it's
to
not
try.
A bad idea. No, it's on the shortlist for the moment, I think. But David's definitely still in the lead, I think.
Give James a huge round of applause. Thank you very much. Hello, what's your name and what is your idea?
My name is Elijah, and my idea is, much like a computer system, if maybe we could do a small tweak evolutionarily or either by computer systems to be able to access our long-term memory whenever we want to. I think that would be great because human beings will then be fundamentally smarter, so anything you read, you can also remember. We'll also be able to communicate with lots of people from around the world because you just listen to a translation tape once and then you're good to go with the language. And maybe instead of removing all of your memories or all of your emotions, you can just recall a happy memory.
Ah, okay, so hold on. Perfect memory. Am I right in thinking that's the pitch?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's brilliant.
It is, but do you not have stuff you really want to forget?
I can't remember. Tell
us, Neil. Tell us.
No, I'm not going to.
Incriminate.
I am not. No, but like.
But you can access the ones you want. So like a computer system, you can go into which files you want. So like your memory, you can go into the good ones. And then the kind of bollocks ones, you can just keep in your rubbish bin.
Yeah, but if there's a folder marked bad memories and you know it's there, I mean, you're going to look at it, aren't you? It's like, you know, I'm not going to check out my ex on Facebook. And then you have a few drinks and you go, oh, click on the recycle bin of, oh.
A big problem here is actually that every time all memories are, there's no such thing as a read-only file in the brain. So all memories are altered by the act of remembering them.
So it's like Schrodinger's memory. So the act of remembering alters the.
Yeah, because it's all made up of approximations. There's no such, like memories are not just stored. It's not like a filing system. But the things you're talking about, like removing memories, drugs already exist to remove that. They're doing tons of research into PTSD, like post-traumatic stress disorder stuff, where you give somebody a drug and you get them to recount the memory as much as they can. And the more detail they can bring up, it's kind of like the more it's coming out of the filing system, for want of a better analogy. And it doesn't go back, so it blocks the thing going backwards, that's it. But that's the thing, is there's no such thing as simple memories. There's no way of recording things like this.
It's Memento would be shit in the new world.
Yeah, I guess. That's not the only problem, though. It's just the fact that there's no such thing as perfect memory, because there's no such thing even as perfect perception. We're all lying.
Yeah, well, memories in criminal trials have been proven to be faulty, so.
Yeah, useless, more or less.
Yeah, so what is eidetic memory?
So do you know the phrase eidetic memory? It's kind of like what we'd call a photographic
memory.
It's a superior autobiographical memory. Mm. Does anyone have one out of interest? If it comes to you, because you've got something interesting to say here. Was this to add to this idea?
Speaking of mixing computer stuff with human minds, I think our brain, you know, it should bring a message like sympathetic nervous system is not working. Are you sure you want to do this? Because then people would like avoid doing a lot of stupid things in our daily lives. Just like a warning. Are you sure you want to proceed?
See, that's a brilliant idea. Like when I took the booking to do this. I really should have gotten one of those texts. I think that is a great idea, yeah. Do you really want to do something? And it's going to be triggered by alcohol, usually, to be honest. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, it is going to be triggered by alcohol, or you're in a particularly angry state.
Yeah, maybe
or
if
like this.
Alcohol is involved, you have to insert a password or something, you know, for extra security.
Which you won't be able to remember anyways, which is genius. Yeah, unless we have your system where we can remember everything, which is a disaster. That is a very good idea.
Well, this is a separate pitch. Are you basically suggesting a content filter? for the mind.
Yeah, maybe a content filter would be good, yeah.
I think it's just about introducing a pause before making decisions, basically. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Mm-hmm. Like, you're given an extra option. Like, are you really sure you want to do this? Are you not going to screw everything up?
Do you not have any friends? Because that's what a friend would do. But I suppose your friend, they're not there all the time when you're there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll just ring him and see how he is.
There'd be a lot less traffic on eBay, because that's basically
that's
what that
is. That's very, yeah. Yeah. This slanket is a brilliant investment. I might want to see it. Yeah, that's a great idea. Where would you stop it then?
What do you mean, where would I stop?
How many questions would you be asked before you did something?
Oh, I don't know.
When would you be asked, for example?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. Just sometimes I do things and I'm like, why didn't I think twice? I should have gotten that, are you sure you want to proceed message, you know?
So like for today we could have had, are you going to make a suggestion here? Yes. Are you sure you want to make a suggestion?
Yeah.
What happens if they ask you a follow-up question? Are you sure you're prepared for the inevitable questioning that will happen afterwards?
Oh, maybe it comes to a point where you just, oh, screw this, and you just say yes, yes, yes. I guess that's what
actually happens.
You're very
much a control-alt-delete girl, aren't you?
Yeah, nobody reads the terms and conditions, do they? So nobody's going to read the terms and conditions of your mind. You're just going to click through and say yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's probably true.
What do you say?
Hey, wait, whoa, microphone to this lady because she's value.
It's scientifically proven that no one reads the terms and conditions.
That's been scientifically proven?
Yes, there's been studies that like less than 1% of people actually read the terms and conditions.
Did they do it by survey?
I'm actually not... I'm actually not sure about what they actually did with the study, but it's been proven.
Cool, man. So hold on. We've got two ideas here that we have to see if they work. So first of all, a content filter and a sort of perfect memory, which I'm skeptical of because we're going to have to do something to really pimp it. Like maybe actually having,
Well, the perfect memory, but the suggestion is that the issue is the perfect perception. So there's two parts of it. So you perceive something and you screw up what it is because we all perceive things entirely differently, but whatever you do put in your brain, Elijah wants you to perfectly recall it.
Yeah.
No.
I think you're being kind of hard, Elijah. I feel like you're saying every other idea tonight is totally feasible, but Elijah's the one and only one maybe we can't do.
Oh, no, this isn't about...
I'm not sure of the owl neck, and I'm sorry, but it's because I'm losing. I don't think it's going to work. I'm sorry. I'm on Elijah's team.
No, this isn't about feasibility. This is about what you would want. And okay. Wanting to remember, I don't know about you, but I've lived a life full of shame and regret. And it is my own personal projection, Elijah. Elijah may well be a man of upstanding and moral character, you know? No, he's not. So why do you want to remember the bad shit? Are you a member of Opus Dei or something like this? I need to punish myself.
Yeah, why do you want to remember everything?
When I was younger, I watched a lot of... anime and read a lot of manga and I learned how to speak Japanese, but because I didn't have anyone to speak Japanese to in London, I kind of forgot. And I always thought it would be nice if I had perfect memory of that moment, because then I can be able to, of those years, then I can speak Japanese. Or if I read, I don't know, To Kill a Mockingbird, I want to remember everything about it, the first time I read it, the feelings that invoked in me. That would be pretty awesome.
Well, maybe this is
like being hugged by your mom for the first time. That's something that I'm sure you would want to remember.
But hold on, but you get hooked by the first time, presumably by your mother as a baby.
Yes.
And you don't form memories as a baby. Or if you're Irish, maybe you're around 4 or 5. If you've done something particularly well, and never by your dad unless awfully you've won.
Absolutely.
Don't you laugh at my pain.
Do you want a hug now?
Yes, I do. Tell you one thing.
Oh, I backed your right horse in Elijah anyway, I tell you.
The ironic thing about that, Elijah, is I'm going to drink so much tonight, I'm going to forget what just happened.
Do you know, as a complete tangent, even when you said about remembering hugging your mum, there was about 3 or 4 people in the audience who want your phone number right now.
Because they want to hug your mum.
I saw that, and don't pretend I didn't.
No, I think he's onto something, but just not everything. That's all I would say. Just not everything. You know, like, we'd all be able to learn, love to learn a language like that. We're all massively impressed by looking at comics. You learned Japanese. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, there's this, you're sitting in a room full of people, if you grew up in London, who studied Irish for 14 years and can just about ask to go to the toilet, right? You learn Japanese from go fuck yourself.
You're kind of disqualified by, you know, sexual favors for a judge as well in some way.
No, that's not disqualification at all. That's very much.
So is it in or out? Perfect memory.
I think it's out because of the danger it poses, Elijah, I'm afraid.
And yeah. Content filters?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. Because I'm much more likely to have done something that I am secretly guilty and shameful about. But I still think that the winner has to be Owls and David.
Hold on. Do we have time for one more, no. Katrina?
No.
Are we running over the bud?
This could be the...
Does that mean 2 minutes or 2 minutes or two more?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
This could be the idea that changes all of science and you're going to block this man.
Well, I'm sorry in that case. If we've only got 2 minutes, there's one final suggestion I'd like to give you. Coming all the way from Mother Nature herself. Frogs. So frog skins. In the past couple of years, they've discovered over 150 new types of antibiotics, including cures for types of stroke, cures for types of cancer. Frog skins seem to be where it's at.
On a frog skin?
On frog skins.
And can you take it neat, shall we say?
Like,
if I was having a heart attack, could I just lick Kermit? Is that why Miss Piggy's never been sick in any of the...
She has no swine flu as a result of this.
So do you have to process it? What does it work?
Well, there's a lot of research, and actually, unfortunately, it's not yielding results yet as fast as we hoped, but because they're moist, basically.
Yeah. Nope, that's on the banned list. That should be on your... Nope, no moist. Nope. Don't say it.
Because they're moist, they have to have different... So because disease can get in those kind of ways.
Can I just point out that this audience didn't really balk at the fact that about the whole doggy-style thing. That, like, they were all reasonable adults here and just went, oh, well, fair enough. But the word moist, and you all went, ah, no, that's a step too far then.
But, you know, how else? Because they have to be, because among other things, most amphibians, a lot of them breathe through their skin.
Mm.
So you need moisture for that to happen. I'm not suggesting you breathe through your skin in these cases.
Why did they say ribbit?
They don't say ribbit.
Yeah. Do you know why they're meant to say ribbit? Apparently, when films came out at the start and they were looking to put soundtracks on them, there's a frog in Southern California, or somewhere around LA, that Pacific frog, and it makes that noise.
The Pacific tree frog, that's it.
Yeah, that would be the one. And the Pacific tree frog makes that noise, so people think that all frogs make that noise because of film, but it doesn't.
I did a gig once in Bulgaria. And
if you could top my frog story, I'd be impressed.
No, it's just related because I started saying, because the only thing is culture, and so I started asking people, you know, what noise does a frog make? And the audience all went, quack. And I said, well, what noise does a duck make? And they went, quack, quack. You know, they started looking at each other. And I think, like, this must be something that came in under communism. Like, all animals would be equal, and all animals would say quack. Like, you know, Paul MacDonald had a farm, and everything said quack. Except, like...
Do you think...
Paul MacDonald did not have a farm because he's a capitalist pig dog. And
or that the frog originally went ribbit, and then they just brought it to a re-education camp. Just beating the frog. Say it!
Quack.
You are now free to go. Bring in the dog. Woof. No, 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 no. You are going to have to sit at back of class. Here is chalk right on board. Quack, 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 quack. Woof. Oh, a rebellious dog. We will see if I can break your spirit. Bring in the womble. Which womble? Bulgaria, of course. Too young to get that.
So hold on, frog skin antibiotics, in or not? If it involves being moist, actually, how do you feel about that?
I don't have any objection to the word moist. I don't care.
You made a face when it happened. Don't even pretend.
You're moist on the inside. All of us are. Like, that's how it works. No, we are. Like, wait.
See,
sorry, much worse. Even when you realise what you said, James.
No, that's your dad.
Go on.
That comment on its own.
that comment on its own would have been fine. We would have let that comment go on its own. But given the other stuff you said,
no, I mean, like, so frogs have to be moist in the skin to breathe through the skin.
Yeah.
Our lungs have to be moist to.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh dear. Oh, this is not on, is it? Like, the podcast isn't on anymore. Never mind this. Is this on? Like, is this going to make
definitely on, just to see your massive discomfort that's in the word. I think, yeah, I mean.
Okay,
Neil. Do we want, so in other words, the question is, do we want a skin like frogs where we can somehow get antibiotics from our own skin? Is that the question?
Effectively, yeah, magic antibiotic skin.
Magic antibiotic
skin. But it does
skin.
Have a cost that comes with it, because everything in evolution does.
Well, what's the cost?
Saying the word.
Yeah, saying the word, is that
saying
enough?
The word
no,
over the cost? And over
genuinely,
again.
If I just had a little patch, like a nicotine patch of frog skin between my my wrist.
Oh, actually,
and my,
yeah, a little bit that you can just kind of lick your wrists when you need it.
Yeah, so you could just lick your wrist and.
Would you just get antibiotic resistance if
yeah,
everyone has there's your
saying?
Catch?
What's the cost? Tell me the cost. I need to know the cost,
it.
Man.
Having a wet patch.
Having a wet patch.
Oh, <Jesus Christ. laughs> Can I go home?
Maybe we're trying to reach too far. Maybe we should just have a system where our brain thinks about what we're going to say before we say it.
And we need a delay.
And how that could be constructed. Yeah, do.
Like, yeah. Basically, this
a little
is
dialogue
suggestion.
Box that says, do you really want to say the words wet patch after you've just said the word moist? Do you really want to say that? I think it would be a great idea. Who's going to turn down a little patch that you could get antibiotics from? Yeah, I think that's a very good idea.
Okay.
Can't so believe I'm the one being serious. And this podcast.
Right. So, you're going to have to pick here. This is large. We're going to have to run this up. Do we want David's suggestion of joints like an owl? Do we want James' idea of streaming to the eyes, but only in black and white to have discovered? And maybe out of focus, perhaps, in certain parts? We've rejected Elijah, but not from our hearts.
Elijah will come again, probably.
This, I apologise to Rachel or Anton for this podcast.
No, I didn't mean that way. I meant in the biblical way. You're a filthy bastard. Yeah. You're just a filth monger. Mm. Is that when they said to you, what sort of scientist do you want to be, did you just go, biologist?
That's
what's your favourite organ? Moist, wet patch.
Oh, dear. Right. Content filters? That was the only suggestion.
Yes. Could I suggest a patient zero? Yes, Simon.
And frog skins.
I still think David's one because the way it was explained. See, I think that you would do the frog skin thing and it could be ages before it's ever developed. I think that man, yeah. If I say we're going to do this now, he's going to go out and probably just knock a few owls together.
Yeah.
You'll
two
see him
tops.
Knocking around. Like, if I put it this way, if I saw him and you both together knocking around the Phoenix Park, I would suggest that he was searching for owls. I have no idea what you're doing. I can imagine you just chasing Elijah around the park going, Neil got a hug, I want a hug. So for that reason, David all day long.
Okay, please give me a huge round of applause. How does it feel, David, knowing that you're going to have your idea? You're going to have to actually knock oils together until the RSPCA comes.
I think we'll look back at this moment very easily.
Oh, what I like about that is he's been thinking about that for an hour. Solid hour.
Okay, you heard it here first. We're going to take that idea and we're going to add it to our genetic code using DNA or C++, whichever works best. Before we go, I want you to give a huge round of applause and thank you to our people here. We've had David McCune, we've had Lara Duncan, we've had Neil Delamere, we've had a wonderful audience here at the Science Gallery in Dublin. I've been Simon Watts. This has been Level Up Human. Thank you and good night.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.